for the scripture reading today. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, Father, I pray that you would be with us today. Father, I pray that you would tune our ear to your voice so that we might hear you clearly. God, I pray that you would turn our hearts toward you, that we might experience all that you have for us, God. God, it's to that end that I ask that you would stand in my body this morning, think through my mind, speak through my vocal cords, those things that you would have us say, know, and do. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. Have your way in fellowship today. In Jesus' name, every heart said amen. 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 You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For the last 7 weeks, as we've gathered, we've been in a series where we're unpacking our core values. There are three: fellowship with God, fellowship with the family of God, and fellowship with the world. And we're taking those one at a time and kind of taking them on bite-size by bite-size and kind of unpacking what they look like and what they mean. So fellowship with God, I pray that every week we leave with a different picture of what that looks like. What does it mean? What does it look like to live life in fellowship with our Creator? What does it look like? What does it mean for us to have fellowship with God? In this series, for the last few weeks, we've been in Psalm 23, walking through this passage, and pulling pictures from this passage to help us understand what does it mean for us to have fellowship with God. For the last 2 weeks, we've been in the first half of Psalm 23, and I hadn't been able to quite get out of there. Last week, I intended to do the message for this Sunday, but I started the recap, and the Holy Spirit has hijacked the thing, and I end up redoing it all over again. So I'm going to do a brief recap, but if I'm in this recap for more than 3 minutes, then we all know we're in trouble. So I'm going to go back, talk about where we've been, and then we'll start, and hopefully we'll finish this passage today. Psalm 23, we talked about the Lord being our shepherd. Because of who he is, we shall not want anything outside of the shepherd's provision for our life. Talked about how he loves us enough to where even if he has to make us lie down, he'll make us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the quiet, still waters, and it is there in that place where he brings restoration to our souls. Because he knows that his sheep will run hungry, will run dry. But he's too much of a good shepherd to leave his sheep hungry. So instead of us running on empty, he says, I'll restore your soul. It's amazing to me how many of us run our daily lives on empty. We run typed out, tapped out, one meeting away from burnout, one meeting away from burning somebody out their house. It all depends on how the day going. Some of y'all get that on the way home. It's like you get so mad. It's like, I'm going to set all this on fire. Yeah, never been there? Okay, all right. But he says, I'll bring restoration to your soul. I'll restore your soul. And here's what we dropped off last week. We'll pick it up here today. I can almost see, especially we're kind of sitting, we're resting, we're being restored in God. I can almost hear the frustration in all the type A personality people. You sit there and think, all this waiting, all this resting, I got stuff to do, you know? I got a to-do list I'm trying to get down. When can we start doing it? Well, here's the passage that you'll like, because you begin to see movement now. He says, he leads me in paths of righteousness. You see the movement? You see the movement? He says, he leads me in paths of righteousness. But the key word here is the fact that he leads. See, some of us, we got to get off the bus right there. Because the idea of him leading, what that means is he tells us when we're going, where we're going, how long we're going to be there, how long it's going to take to be there, and we go according to his rhythm and his time and not your own. See, some of us, we're cool with God leading as long as he takes our instruction. God, I'm cool with you leading, but we got to leave 15 minutes before time. We got to go about 80 miles an hour so we can get there 30 minutes earlier, and we got our plan, right? It's just like when we go on family vacation. How many of y'all go on family vacations? Marriages will break up. I'm serious. Marriages will break up on a family vacation because it's so funny. It's you have your biggest arguments before you go to have a good time. You ever been in an argument and it's so heated? It's like, we are going to have a good time. Now go. It's like, oh, okay, Dad. Yay, we're family vacation. You know, because men, I don't know, but I'm like this. I have a plan. We're going to leave at this time. We're going to pack at this time. And it's almost like a contest. I want to make it there in record time. So when people say, how long did it take you to get here? Man, it only took us 15 minutes. But you in Dallas. I know. It was good. It made a good time. You know, we pride ourselves on being able to beat the odds. So we make all these deals. We got this plan and nobody, we're going to go 8 hours. Can't nobody pee. Ain't nobody peeing. We ain't stopping for nothing. You know what I mean? You walk around the night before, put that water down. You're going to have to pee tomorrow. No. 12-hour fast. Nobody drink nothing. You know what I mean? Just crazy. And then you wake up the next morning and you're trying to execute this crazy plan. And your family is like, dude, when did you turn into Major Pain? You know what I'm saying? It's like, who are you? Many of us, that's how we do God. God, here's the agenda. Here's where I want to go. Here's where I want to be. At 31, I want to be doing this. At 33, I want to be doing this. At 36, I want to have this done, and I want to have this much, and I want to have this much money in the bank. Sometimes I wonder if God just looks at our plans and just laughs. It's like, look at these sheep. Because what we do is we take our sheep ideas and we're trying to put them into shepherd action, and it just doesn't work that way. That was good. I'm going to say that again. That was good. That was pretty good. So we take our sheep concepts, our sheep ideas, and our sheep agendas, and we try to make shepherd-like decisions, and we wonder why it doesn't work. He says, I'm going to lead you down paths of righteousness. I'm going to do the leading. And that means if I'm leading, you have to trust me, you have to wait on me, and you have to know that my plans for you are good and they will sustain you. See, what we do is we tell God, God, we want you to go 80, and he's like, nope, I'm driving 20 today. And we're in the back seat freaking out. What's wrong with me? What's going on in my life? And he's like, dude, chill. Doesn't God talk to you like that? Doesn't he say, like, dude, chill? He never said that to you? It's a class I took in seminary. It's like Ebonics, gospel Ebonics. He like talks like that. It's like you got Greek, Hebrew, and then gospel Ebonics. It's cool. Anyway, I'm just kidding. That's really not a well, it could be at Fuller. I don't know. Fuller grad, you got that joke. You got that. Just me and you. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. The Lord will lead you. And he's got to go on his time. But watch this. He says, I'm going to lead you. Where is he taking us? He's taking us on paths of righteousness. He's not leading us to a desert. He's not leading us to destruction. He's leading us in paths of righteousness. Righteousness, righteousness. The idea here is I'm going to put you in the right place at the right time for the right reason. He says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to hook you up. I'm sorry, hook you up. I'm going to overwhelmingly meet your needs in an abundant way that's immeasurable for your life. Hook you up. I'm going to hook you up. He says, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to make ways for you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to provide for you. I am going to hook you up. Trust me. Because I love you so much, I'm going to lead you, and I'm going to lead you down paths of righteousness, and I'm going to put you in the right place at the right time so the right God can get all of his glory. I love it because he says, I'm not going to do it for your name's sake, but I'm going to do it for my name's sake. I'm going to bless you and I'm going to hook you up, but I'm not going to do it so you'll look good in front of your friends. I'm not going to do it so everybody will look at you and say, oh, he did a good job. No, I'm going to do it so they'll look at your life and say, wow, praise the God of that guy, because if God can do that in that guy, this must be an amazing God. So I'm going to hook you up, put you in the right place at the right time so the right God can get the right glory. That's why you don't have to worry. God, the good shepherd, is providing for you. He's already anticipated your needs. He's going to give you the right job at the right time with the right pay so people can see your life and give God glory. He's going to hook you up with the right boo at the right time. I'm sorry, boo, significant other. He's going to hook you up. You don't have to worry. I'm 38 years old and I'm still single. And Lord, listen, let me tell you something. If you're 38 years old and you're still single, it's because you need to be. Because there ain't nothing worse than somebody 38 and married and ain't supposed to be. All the married people that ain't supposed to be, say amen. You're not supposed to say that. No, you almost gave yourself away. See, you better pay attention. You almost messed up. That was about to be $30,000 in therapy right there. But listen, if you're not married, you don't want to be unless the shepherd has provided. Because if you go get something on your own, you're going to be taking it to the shepherd saying, now what happened to this? Amen. I love it. The whole section of women was like, amen, child, let me tell you. I've been in that customer service line. You don't want to tell you. And they be tripping. They ain't like Walmart. Walmart will take anything back. Not like this. I had my receipt and everything. I was like, Lord, you can take him back. No. It was like, no, no return policy. It was a problem. So I'm telling you, if the shepherd is saying to wait, you need to wait and trust God. Because he's going to put you in the right place at the right time. So God can get glory. He's going to bless you. I'm telling you. Listen, I was single for like 6 years. Then I met my wife. And people see, if you hadn't seen my wife, this is her in the front row. I'm not going to ask her to turn around and stand up because we did that one time and it didn't go good. And I was on the couch for a week. So I was like, I'm not going to do that anymore. We're not going to do that. Okay? See, I learned. See? All those counseling sessions. Anyway. So I get my wife, and my wife is drop dead gorgeous. My wife is beautiful. She is amazing. She is beyond beauty. She is awesome. That's right. Amen. You need to clap a little louder, please. Thank you. Here's the deal, though. It's kind of funny, but I get it. People come to me, they'll see her, and they'll kind of pull me to the side and be like, how did you get her? And at first I want to be like, what are you trying to say? You know what I'm saying? But I know what they're saying. They be like, dude, when I look at you and when I look at her and I look at her with you, I think there must be a God. Because that's a walking miracle. If I got my sinful cousin, my cousins that ain't studying Jesus. They saw how fine my wife was. It's like, man, how you get her? I said, Jesus. They were like, hey, hook me up. Where Jesus at? Can you holler at Jesus for me? You know what I'm saying? I got this girl named Sherry, man. If he can hook me up with Sherry, that'd be great. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, it don't quite work like that. You know what I mean? But that's the point. He says, I'm going to provide everything that you need. I'll put you in the right place at the right time so you can get exactly what you need. Allow me to lead you. See, because if you lead, you may run too fast and miss it. Or if you lead, you may run too slow and miss the opportunity. Some of you, God is trying to lead you to your own business, lead you into your own thing, and you going too slow, making sure I got everything in place. I want to make sure I got everything before I do. Well, you're going to mess around and miss the bus. He says, trust me and allow me to lead you. And I got the timing down. I got it right. I got the pace down. I got the rhythm time. He said, hey, I got the rhythm down. I'll give you exactly what you need when you need it. Listen, you got to learn how to say, thank you, Jesus, for the stuff you didn't get. I'm going to say that again because that one was good. I'm going to stay right here for a while. You got to learn how to say, thank you, Jesus, for the stuff you didn't get. I got a best friend of mine. He's 35, 36, 35. And he hadn't been married. He's getting married. Got this beautiful young lady that he's marrying. And, you know, and he's been close to really wanting to marry some other girls that just, it's like when you see what God has for you and how great, his fiance now is a beautiful young lady. She's 10 years younger than him. You know what I'm saying? Okay. You know, it's like 10 years. It just is a great deal. And every now and then he and I, we boys, so we just, you know, we're not in our pastor hats. We just sit around, we talk, and we'll just talk. And we'll just talk about the girls he like almost dated and like the girls he almost married. And we just start thanking Jesus. We be like, praise the Lord. That could have been you right there. You see her in the mall the other day? Man, dude, that could have been you carrying around all them kids looking like you ain't got no name. You mean, it's just terrible. I mean, come on, am I the only one? Have you ever seen somebody that you used to date and you just be silently thinking, thank you? You know what I'm saying? You be like, Lord, she was watching out for me, Lord. Woo-wee. Because we see how, okay, y'all too spiritual. Okay, maybe I'm the only one. But there are times when you just have to thank God, not just for the doors that he opened, but for the doors that he closed. I don't know about you, but he's kept me out of so much drama, kept me out of so many mistakes. He's helped me because of the things that he said no to. Don't be frustrated with God when he tells you no. He's a good shepherd. And he knows what you need. Or even if you get frustrated, you need to get over it. That's how you say it in the Greek. Get over it. Because he knows what's best for you, and you got to trust him not only when he says yes, but when he says no. And when he says no, you got to learn how to let go. I feel like I need to stay here for just about 30 more seconds. Because I feel like there may be some of you where the Lord has said no, but you're still holding on. And you can never embrace the new thing that God has for you if you're still holding on to the old thing that he's already rejected. Whew, that was good. There's a lot of good ones today. I hope y'all writing this down. Are y'all tweeting this? You've got to be willing to let go of the things that God has said no to so that you can be open to the new thing that God has for you. God, I thank you for the doors you open, and I thank you for the doors you close. I thank you for leading me down paths of righteousness for your namesake, so people will see your hand working in my life and say, wow, I thank God in heaven for what he's doing in your life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Next part. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Hold on. Wait a minute, God. How did we get here? We was just sitting in green grass drinking distilled water. Now we in the shadow of death, Jesus? Death, Jesus? How we get here, Jesus? It's like, is the navigational system in heaven broke, Jesus? Did the little British woman on the GPS tell you a wrong turn, Jesus? How do we end up in this dark place? Because if Jesus is leading, I'm expecting us to be in beautiful, wonderful places. Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. That's what I'm expecting. You know what I'm saying? It means no worries for the rest of your days. Psalm 27. But it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Where did this come from? Could it be that even when following Jesus, you'll have dark days? Could it be that even with Jesus driving, you'll find yourself in some dark places? See, this goes against this theology where people think that, oh, if I follow Jesus, then everything is always going to be great. Everything is going to always be good. And I'll get the big car and the big house and the big wife. I mean, the wife, whatever size you like. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, I'll just get whatever I want. No. Even when following Jesus, you'll still have dark times. Even when following Jesus, you'll still have to kiss some of your loved ones goodbye prematurely. Even with following Jesus, you may still lose the job. Even when following Jesus, the cancer still may spread. Hello in the room. Even when following Jesus, you still may not be able to pay all the bills. It's reality. But he says, listen to what David says And you want to talk about a man that knew dark days? You want to talk about a man that knew valleys? Talk to David. David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. It's like this. I remember when I was in high school, I had some rough cousins. I mean, my cousins, if you ever was going to get in a fight, you want to text message them beforehand, have them meet you there, because they could get down. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, get down. They could fight very well with great diligence and overwhelming strength and power. They could get down. They could fight. If you ever got in a fight, you want to call my cousins. My cousins, these thuggish dudes. So I'm at this dance. We're in 10th grade. And we're at this dance, and I got on this orange jean Carl Kani outfit. Y'all, it sounds funny, but I'm telling you, it was off the chain. It looked good. I'm sorry, off the chain. It was impressive to the eye. And y'all remember Carl Kani? Y'all remember Carl Kani? Three black people? Four black people. All right. Y'all Google that. I'm telling you. So I got on my Carl Kani, and we at the dance, you know what I'm saying? Just hooking up poison. Dun, 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 poison, you know. And the electric slide, it's electric, You know what I'm saying? Come on now, y'all know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying? Like candy. All right, okay. So y'all get the point, you know what I mean? So we dancing, we having a good time. And then this dude, he was all upset, and he was just mad. So he was walking up, and he was cussing and pointing and cussing like he was ready to fight somebody. Well, you know, whenever a fight break out at our school, what you do? You make a big circle, and you just get this big circle around, right? So this dude fighting and cussing and stuff, and, you know, I'm getting in the circle, and the circle kept getting around me. Come to find out, this dude was cussing me out. Still to this day, I can't imagine what he was upset for other than me, you know, looking all cute in my Carl Kani, you know what I'm saying? Okay. So he's circling around, he cussing me out and stuff, and my cousins just came. Let me get some help. Come here, Bob. Come here, kid. Y'all help me out. I want y'all to be my thuggish, ruggish, hard cousins. Y'all be. So look hard. Oh, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. That's some G stuff right there. That's what I'm talking about. I just gotta chill, and I know you. That's what I'm talking about. Now, Bobby, give it to me again. I missed it. Ooh. See, that looked like I'll just cut you. You know what I'm saying? Look, I ain't even trying to fight. I got one move. You'll be dead in 30 seconds. I ain't even trying to fight. So y'all got that down. Now, let me get this gentleman right here with the vest. Sir, would you stand up? Yeah. Just stand right there in the middle aisle right there for me. All right? I want you to be the angry dude that's just pointing and cussing. So do me a favor, just start cussing really loud. Go. No, I'm just playing. Y'all should have said, he was like, I mean, y'all cool with it? I mean, I will. I mean, what? We in church. I mean, he tell me, I let one rip. You know what I mean? I let it go. What? No. I just point like you're going off, like you want to fight. There you go. Okay, all right. It's a little dancing and pointing. I like that. Okay, all right, okay, stop, okay. So he's gonna come at me like he's fighting and cussing, and then y'all bum rush, y'all rush in with expediency, as if to deter him from wanting to engage with me further. All right, ready, go, come on. All right, and then he changed his mind, which is very good, my white brother. That's very good. You ever see a black dude and an Asian guy jump at you like that? You want to back up. Like Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan. Right. Yeah. Not that we do any kind of racial stereotypes at this church. Right. Okay, so when my cousins rushed in, this dude changed his mind, and he went back to his seat. Go back to your seat, all right? So then, you know what I was like? I was like, yeah. What? You better be glad he holding me. Like, what? So for the rest of the night, guess where I was? I was with my cousins. They went to the left, we all going to the left, Jack. They went to the right, we all going to the right. Went to the bathroom. We all going to the potty today, Jack. You know what I'm saying? This way, Jack. This way, Jackie. This way. What's my point? David is saying, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm not walking by myself. So regardless of how dark the day, regardless of how rough the time, I don't have to fear, because I will never walk alone, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And no weapon formed against me will be able to prosper, and he will never leave me nor forsake me. So even if I got to go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because the Lord is with me. Watch this. He says, y'all hold your arms out like you're making a muscle. He says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's the muscle of the Lord. He says that he's protecting me and he's watching over me. I don't care what you're going through today. I don't care what your situation may be. I'm telling you, you don't have to fear evil, because the Lord your God is with you. His rod and staff is present and ready to comfort and protect you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. He says, next part, he says, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. See, that part has always been interesting to me. He says, I'm going to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Enemies, people that oppose you, people that don't like you, people that will work against you. In 2012, we call these people haters. Everybody say haters. No, not haters. Haters. All right? Everybody say haters. He says, I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your haters, the people that don't like you, the people that will love to see evil against you, people that will love to work against you. He says, I'll prepare a table. A table. What does a table mean? It's provision. So he says, even with opposition in your life, I'll provide for you. Some of us, we feel like the world is against us because of the recession. Financially, we feel like as if we're opposed on every hand. He says, even in this recession, with all the odds against you, people on your job against you, unemployment, all that stuff, even in this recession, I prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And I'll sustain you, I'll keep you, I will provide for you, even in the presence of opposition. Since I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And then he says, I'll anoint your head with oil. This idea of anointing, simply put, it's this divine enablement from the life of God. It's this divine enablement from the Spirit of God. It is the oil of God. It's the divine enablement. Your ability to do in his strength what you cannot do in your own. You'll do stuff and people will be like, how are you doing that? You're struggling, going through the divorce, surviving with the kids, and you maintain. People are like, how are you doing that, girl? I would have lost my mind. She says, I would have too, but it was the anointing of God. I'm able to sustain myself through his power and through his spirit. That's the only way I'm surviving. Somebody else would have lost their mind. No, but I still got my mind. Still got my figure too. Hey. Because the anointing of God is sustaining me. Says, thou anointest my head with oil. Watch this next line. Here it is. He says, and my cup runneth over. Now, a few minutes ago, I was dry. A few minutes ago, I was empty. A few minutes ago, I had this low tank where I was on the verge of burnout. But now my cup is running over. Because when you trust the shepherd and when you follow the shepherd, he'll flood you. He'll overwhelm you and you will run over. And the people of God and the family of God, your family, your community, they will experience the overflow of God in your life. You know, Christians are a trip. Christians are a trip sometimes. Sometimes Christians can be some of the most depressing people in the world. And some of them just mean and rude. You know what I mean? Sometimes I wonder, y'all ain't following the shepherd. You ever call anybody? You ever call them and you all excited, and when you get off the phone with them, you depressed? Like that, I'm not calling you no more. You know what I mean? It's like you call somebody and you just all excited, you just having a good time, and you get off the phone and you don't even know it at first. You just be walking, you're like, oh, something wrong. You ever, you know, you feel like something wrong, but you don't know what it is, and you start retracing. You be like, it's when I called Judy, got off the phone with her, and now I'm depressed. You know what I mean? He says, or on the flip side, have you ever called somebody and their joy is so overwhelming, you got off the phone feeling better? Ever been in somebody's presence and they loved you on you so good, you walked away feeling loved unlike anything else? Those are people that are overflowing with the promises of God, overflowing with the beauty of God. That's who we're called to be. We're the sheep that are overflowing with his love. So no, it's not hard for me to give to you because I'm not giving out of a tapped out resource. I'm giving you out of the overflow of what I'm experiencing in my own life with God. It's not hard for me to encourage you because I can encourage you out of the overflow of what God is doing in my life. He says, when you walk with me, I'll prepare a table before you, and I'll overflow you with love, with joy, with peace, and it'll be abundant. And I don't care who the world is, they'll experience God's love through you. He says, thank you. Thank you. That one person. Amen. Thank you, sister. Finally, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Isn't that countercultural? Doesn't it seem like we're always trying to chase goodness and mercy? We're always working hard trying to get goodness and mercy. Hey, guys, y'all come here. Y'all come here. Help me out. Help me out. Let's say you're goodness and you're mercy. All right? All right, got that? He's like, okay, I think I can do that. Y'all goodness and mercy, you stand over here. Over here. Yeah. Right here. And then right here. All right. Then y'all walk that way. And it's like we're always trying to grab and trying to chase goodness and mercy. Keep walking. I didn't tell you to stop. It's always like we're trying to catch it. But that's not what he said. He says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. So wherever I go, goodness and mercy is going to follow me, even when the journey gets long, even when the journey gets fast, regardless of where I'm going, regardless of what's going on. Goodness and mercy, y'all, a little slow. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, wherever I find myself. Y'all are ridiculous. Wherever I find myself, goodness and mercy will come and follow me. Good job. Good job. Good job. You almost fell, mercy. Come here. He says, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. You don't have to spend your days trying to chase it. It's going to chase and overwhelm you. It'll show up in your life, and it'll be yours. You okay? Yeah. You ever been this close to a black guy? No? I mean, I'm just saying. You know, once you go black, you never go back, right? No, I'm just playing. Give him a hand. You're like, did he do that? Yes, I did. That's a pretty big church. This last part, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's almost as if David looks back over his life and he sees what all he had to go through to get here. All of the brokenness, all of the struggle, all of the leading, all of the restoration, all of the silence, all of the things he had to go through to get here to this place. And he gets here and he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I will stay in this place. I'm not leaving this place. It took me too much. It cost me too much to get here. I had to suffer too much to get to this place. I had to go through some dark days so I could see that the Lord will be with me. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I will stay right here. I will not move. I will not leave from your presence. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever, ever, forever, ever, forever, ever, forever, ever, forever, ever. I will dwell. I will stay in the presence of God because in this place, Jesus reigns. In this place, freedom reigns. in this place. I don't have to be distracted or consumed by the things of this world. In this place, I can live, I can dwell. The problem with many of us is we don't live here, we just visit here. We go for a couple of days. Oh, I need a little retreat so I can get connected with God. No, you don't need a retreat so you can get connected with God. You need a life to be connected with God. He don't want to connect for the weekend. He wants your life. Because when you dwell in this place, that is what fellowship with God looks like. That's what fellowship with God is. It's not a quick visit to the sanctuary. It's not a quick visit to church, but it's a daily grind. It's a daily commitment where I daily give myself away to who He is. And I'm telling you, I don't care. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. As a matter of fact, most of us aren't. And if anything that we do makes us look like that we are, we're not. Christians are just as jacked up as anybody else in the world. Did he just say that? Yeah, I did. We are. What's the difference? Through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, we've got an all-access pass that through Him we can come in the presence of an almighty God, and we can dwell and we can stay here, where the Lord takes out and deals with all of the imperfections, all of the things that are of this world, all of our failures, all of our guilt, all of our shame, all of our struggles, all of our addictions. He deals with all of that, and not all at once, but day by day, moment by moment, we begin to look more and more like our Father. Let me tell you something. I'm a piece of work. I got a whole lot of stuff wrong with me. And today, I look as much like God as I possibly can, but check me out tomorrow. Because tomorrow, I'll look more like Him than I did yesterday. And come back a month from now, because a month from now, I hope to stay in His presence, to stay in this place. So a month from now, I look more like Him than I did a month ago. And stick around. Come back next year. Because the next year, I'll look more and more like my Father. And year by year, day by day, moment by moment, I'll look more and more like my Father. And friends, that's what fellowship with God is. It's our ability to dwell in His presence. Before I pray, there are just three things in this text we got to do. Everything in Psalm 23, God does. He does it all except three things. Here are the three. I shall not want, I will not fear, and I will dwell. I shall not want anything outside of the shepherd's provision for my life. I will not walk in fear, but I'll walk in faith, and I'll trust God's hand even when I can't trace it. Did you get that? I'll walk in faith and not fear, and even when I can't trace God's hand, I'll still trust His heart. And finally, I will dwell. I won't make this a place of vacation, but I'll make it a place where I live. This will be my residence. I will dwell in your house. Would you do me a favor? Close your eyes and bow your heads. It's in this place where the freedom of the Lord reigns. The provision of the Lord is there, and He gives us faith for our fears. If you're in this place and you say, Albert, I've got wants. And when you were talking about receiving the no from God so that we can get to the thing that He has provided in our life. If you're in this room and you say, Albert, I got wants, but I'm not sure if it's what the shepherd wants for me. I'm just not sure. I've got things that I want. I've got things that I desire. But to be honest, Albert, I haven't put them before God and said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. If you're here, I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. If you say, Albert, I got wants, but I'm not sure if it's what the shepherd wants for me. And I want to take my wants and lay them at the feet of the shepherd. If that's you, I'd love to pray for you. Would you just stand right where you are? Just stand. I got some wants. If you're here and you say, Albert, when you talk about fear, you're talking about me. Because I used to walk by faith. I used to trust, and I used to even do things that are risky. But now, it seems like all of my decisions are consumed by fear. What if I fail? What if it doesn't go like I planned? Albert, I've been praying about going back to school, but I fear because I'm not sure where the money's going to come from. I've been praying about starting a new business. I've been praying about getting out of a relationship. Regardless of what the situation, if you say, Albert, my life is being consumed by fear way too much, and I don't want to walk by fear, I want to walk by faith. If that's you and you're ready to deal with those fears and walk in faith, I want to pray for you. Would you stand right where you are? Just stand right where you are. Stand right where you are. I want to walk in faith, not in fear. I want to walk in faith and not in fear. If you're sitting in this room and you say, Albert, when you talk about that dwelling place, that's the very thing I struggle with. Albert, when I think about my spiritual life and my spiritual walk with God, I feel like it's a roller coaster. Because I'm up and I'm down. I'm up and I'm down. And I feel like I'm in and I'm out. And I'm in and I'm out. And there hadn't been any consistency with me and God. I feel like we're back and forth. We're back and forth. And today, I want to make a renewed commitment in His strength. Not my own, because I can't do it. But in His strength, I want to dwell. I want to rest. I want to stay there. No longer do I want to go back and forth with God. I want a relationship with God. I want fellowship with God. I want to walk with God. I want to talk with God. And I want to every day, day by day, to become more like God. I want to dwell. That's been my issue. I haven't been dwelling. I've just been visiting. But today I want a renewed commitment. I want to dwell. If that's you today, I'd love to pray for you. If that's you, just stand right where you are. I want to dwell. I want to dwell. I want to break the cycle of inconsistency in my spiritual walk with God. This back and forth, this up and down. I want to break the cycle today. I want to break the cycle today. Father, I thank you so much. God, I pray that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider. You are a good shepherd. And in you, we have all that we need. So God, we take our wants. We take our desires, which it's okay to have wants. It's okay to have desires. But God, we take them now and we lay them at your feet. And we say, like Jesus said to you, not my will, but thy will be done. And God, some of us, we've been holding on to some of these wants and some of these desires for a long time. Some of us, these are some hopes and our dreams, and it's not going to be easy letting them go, but we let them go trusting that you know what's best for us. We let them go knowing that you love us more than we could even love ourselves. We let them go knowing that you have a plan for us, and it's exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So we give it away, trusting you. And Father, we invite your wants, your desires for our life. We give it away, Father. We give it away so that you might get glory out of our lives. And Father, we commit no longer to walk in fear, but to walk in faith, trusting you, even if it's risky, even if we don't understand, even if we don't see the full plan. God, we will walk by faith and trust you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. God, help us. If we could see it, then we wouldn't need faith. So God, help us to have faith for the things that we don't see in our lives. We trust you, God. We walk by faith. God, we lay down our fear. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, we receive your faith so that we can trust you when we can't trace you. And finally, God, we pray that the great stabilizer of the Holy Spirit will come in our lives and give us consistency. That this place of your presence, this place of your glory, this place where you are provider, where you are shepherd, where you anticipate our needs, where you protect us, you watch over us, this place where you reign, this place where you're in control, this place where you're in charge, not me, the place where you carry the weight and I don't have to carry the weight, the place where you provide for my family, not me, the place where you meet the needs of my family, not me, the place where you reign, the place where you rule. God, I want to dwell in this place. Where I'm the sheep and you're the shepherd. Because God, I've been living so long with me trying to run my life, me trying to save my life, and I can't save my life. But on the cross 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the great Messiah, you provided a way, and you've done for me what I could never do for myself. You have saved me. So God, I dwell where you reign. And Father, you reign where I dwell, in your presence. Because where you reign and where I dwell, there's freedom, there's power, there's healing, there's joy. So let your freedom reign in this place. And this is the place where I want to stay. Now, Father, as we come to your table to partake of your broken body and your precious shed blood, we know that it is through your sacrifice that we have access to this place. So, God, we come to the table, we take eat and we take drink, and we do this in remembrance of you with grateful hearts that because of you we can dwell in this place where your freedom reigns. Take eat, take drink of the broken body, dip it in the juice, and do this in remembrance of our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. When you're ready, come to the table and receive the broken body and the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ.